M&S takes care of residential and commercial customers, and they provide prompt quality service to Manhattan and the surrounding area.
News Radio KMAN, now 9:41, a special edition of KMAN's In Focus. And we're delighted to have Kathy Dawes Scroggs as our host on the program today.
Thank you very much, Dave. Yusha Reddy, of course, with us today, and Robin Cole from Pawnee Mental Health, Riley County Attorney Barry Wilkerson. We were talking, of course, about some of the signs that a child might be being abused and a little bit of denial perhaps sometimes from family members that are surrounding the situation. Yusha, maybe some things that, you know, as you were going through this, that people maybe could have picked up on if they'd been a little more alert.
So children typically won't come out and say something terrible is happening because they're scared to death, and they don't have the vocabulary for it also, mainly because of fear. But some signs might be, you know, sometimes you would see those hotline numbers on TV, and I'd say, you know, I'm going to call that hotline number. And if you see a child, saying something like that, you should probably say, why would you call that? What happened? So people weren't picking up on those signals. Or if I said, you're hugging me too tight, you know, so that's a definitive sign. And if it's constant also, or if you keep pushing an arm away from a loved one, from a mom or someone who you think is relatively harmless, but you see your child pushing the arm away constantly, that's also a sign. And if there were times I would just cry, I didn't know why I was crying. And I didn't know why I was crying, but I think somebody could have picked up on that, being sensitive to those issues. I think what happens is if you're a teenager, everything is brushed off as you're too emotional. You're just going through a phase. That's what teenage girls do and things of that sort. I think we need to just be more attuned to some of those signs. And it's difficult. You know, when you're a parent and you're living at home and you see or even Thanksgiving dinner, whatever it might be, it's hard to read those as signs. But if they're consistently there, I would highly recommend sitting down and have a conversation with your child or seek someone who is an expert in that and say, hey, my child keeps saying this. Do you think I should do something? I don't know what's going on. So don't miss those signs, because most kids won't say that. I mean, I work in a school, and they rarely come out and say anything. This is happening to me at home. You kind of have to watch for any kind of if they're urinating unexpectedly. If they're afraid to go somewhere on their own, you have questions, red flags come up. So, and, you know, rape and sexual abuse are so, don't have physical characteristics, so you're not going to see scars. So you don't know it's happening. So I think that's something that takes, you need to be highly trained, but at the same time, look for where they're going off on their own, other types of awkward behavior that you don't see your other children doing, but you see it in this child. So I think, like I said, it's going to look differently. And even as when a victim, so when I talk about my story to other women, and I have, because I felt like some of my close friends needed to know, they often have another story, but they've never told anybody. So I'm 53 years old, and I have other 53-year-old adult women or older than me, or around my age group, that have not even told their spouse, their children, their moms, or their dads. They've just lived with it because it's not something you want to talk about. It's not something you want to confront because of fear. I had a fear when I had to come forward and say this. So everybody kind of has to handle it in their own way. It doesn't always mean you have to press charges. It might mean just talking to yourself in the mirror. It might mean just hearing your own voice that you are never the blame and you are never alone and you need to be strong. It worked for me thus far, and I've had children and a wonderful husband who supported me during this process. But there's still a lot about what will my husband think of me if I tell him? What if he wants to leave me? What if he thinks I lived a lie and I didn't tell them? What if my children don't want to talk to me anymore? So those types of internal mechanisms happen. And not everybody might want to seek counseling or therapy. But I think everybody has to be respected if they say this has happened to me, and have them deal with it in their own time frame, with their own dialogue, with their own people. Because it is difficult. It was difficult for me. My family is still struggling through all of these processes. It was no way what I imagined in my dream scenario that everybody, you know, I'm going to call the police department in Virginia and they're going to have a whole team of people working on this case. That's not how it works. They have a lot of murder cases and all of these other cases going on. And they might just put this as just another case for them. And this is what you're living with every day. And then you have family members discussing, you know, do you really need to do this? You're doing okay. Can we just move on? So it takes a lot of mental capacity to handle it. But at the same time, I know how resilient human creatures are. I know how deep we can dig when we have something that we want to make right. It takes a lot of conviction. And doing the right thing is never the easiest thing to do. But I'd rather face the truth than live a lie. And right now I feel like a whole burden has been lifted from my shoulders. And I don't have to carry that lie anymore. People can see me as I am and understand me. So I think it takes a lot of help along the way. So
let's bring Barry back in a bit, too, because the process involved, as folks are listening out there thinking, oh, you know, I've noticed this at mm-hmm. our family gatherings. Maybe I need to figure this out a little bit more. I think it's intimidating when you talk about the legal system and what a child might go through, but they've tried to streamline it as much as they can. I mean, what is the process if someone senses this? What do they need to do, Barry?
Well, obviously, if they're a mandatory reporter, they have to report it. To law enforcement, and when I first started, which is 29 years ago, a victim, a child, may be interviewed several times, with a parent or whoever they disclose to, a school counselor, then a police officer, and then they might go and get an examination at the hospital, and then somebody else may talk to him, and then a detective would talk to him, and there could be three or four interviews of a victim before it ever got to our desk. And Stepping Stones, the Child Advocacy Center that we have here in Manhattan, and these have been developed all across the country, were really developed to try to reduce the number of interviews that we had to do with children. Because then you reduce the emotional impact on the child, the trauma on the child. And so, I would encourage, if you suspect, our office, county attorney's office, we can be called. We can direct people to resources. And some people do not want to go forward, and Kansas also allows for anonymous reporting. But, talk to somebody. You can come in into our office if you need, have an appointment, and we will talk to you. It's confidential. And, if we feel like it needs to go to the police department, or we'll send you there. And then it's still your choice. And it doesn't mean necessarily just because it goes to the police department that we're going to force somebody, through the process. We meet with everybody. But, certainly, I would encourage people to report, seek help, go to somebody.
It's a step-by-step process, in other words, and each case is different, I'm sure.
Everybody's different, and so how people respond, and what works for one person, what's best for one person, may be completely different for somebody else.
And Yusha, in your case, mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever thought mm-hmm. about coming forward. Mm-hmm. Did it ever occur to you? Or, of course, during that time, as you said, there were maybe not enough educational.
There weren't. And I never really thought about coming forward. I think I was just going to move on with life, just carry it, baggage, and be stronger in spite of it. Although it was part of who I was. It took my children, to be frank about it, who wanted to seek justice. And until that happened, I was just about moving on with my life and being detached from my childhood. But I think moving forward and with my children's help, and I would do anything for my children. And I thought I was doing everything I can for my children, but when they were very supportive of me moving forward with this, regardless of what happens, certainly that was the motivation and energy I needed to make this world a better place, because my children are not putting me in a very powerful position, and I needed that. Oftentimes it's the parent that gives the power to the children, but they were empowering me this time. So with that, I felt you know, going to trial would have been really bad because I didn't want to put my children on the stand, get them subpoenaed and have them speak to this. And like I said, and not have a guilty verdict. So throughout this whole process, justice was done. I truly never thought it was possible. I really didn't think it was possible. The way it turned out could not have been better in my instance. Not to say that it was not difficult. It was not challenging. There was a lot of heartbreak, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of angry relatives. All of that was there. But what we were going for, the justice and accountability part, was just much bigger, was just bigger. And I think everybody else is going to see that. You know, I think everybody right now thinks about how does this impact my life. But one day they will see that this was the actual and only right thing to do. And it took me a long time to see that. But at this time, I had the resources, the family support. I'm 53 years old. I have nothing to lose from doing this. So I think that gave me, like I said, encouragement. But it also gave me a platform where I can help other victims. This is the platform where I can take other people with me on this journey, regardless of which direction they want to go with it, that they're not alone. And this is a part of who I am, but it's not everything I am. So,
Robin, I know there's a crisis line. There's other ways people can reach out. Just any suggestions? I know if they're going through it right now or they know someone who is. What's the best route to take?
Absolutely. I think, first of all, Yusha has already identified in part that part of what you need to do is tell someone you trust. If you don't remember anything from hearing Yusha's story today, tell someone you trust about what has happened to you. Because secrets, you know, and injustice has a negative power over us. It takes our power away in a really negative way. But truth neutralizes that kind of harmful power that we have in our lives. And so when the truth comes out, that power goes back to the place it needs to go instead of being where it doesn't need to be. So, but for those who are listening, Kansas Crisis Hotline number, it's 1-888-END-ABUSE is a easy way to remember it. 1-888-END-ABUSE. And that the end abuse is 363-2287. This hotline number is answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The crisis center here locally in Manhattan has been operating that crisis hotline since 1997. The crisis center itself doesn't serve child victims of sexual assault, but they have an extensive resource base. They know where to refer children, you know, who have been victims of abuse and neglect or sexual abuse. And then I would just say if someone doesn't trust anyone or doesn't have someone they feel they can contact, if they can't call this crisis hotline number, you know, as another resort, call 911. I mean, this 911 is always available to you. If you just don't know who to call, call 911.
We only have a few minutes left, and I do want to say, and I did take one little quote from your victim impact statement. I hope that's okay, and that was very moving, by the way. I know you shared that with me, but there are no winners or losers, only truth and justice. And I think we brought a little bit of that to the forefront today. I know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, your personal life and your public life kind of beginning to intersect a little bit, but you wanted the Manhattan community to hear this first from you.
Right. So, like I said, my personal life has never been a part of my public life, and they've been very parallel until now. So this just happened Friday, and being an elected official, I've always been very active in the community. But I am looking at seeking another office and considering a run for the U.S. Senate. So we'll see how all of that goes. It's just a conversation that's happening. But I know people have asked, and phone calls and emails have been coming my way. But I felt Manhattan's been really good to me. And they are my family, and this is where it all started, and this is my home, and I've been here for 27 years. So I felt this is the first place. No decisions have been made. It's just a consideration right now. So,
Anything else from Robin, Barry, Yusha that we want to leave folks with? We, again, have another minute or two, but just anything else out there. If you're out there and you're hearing this, I mean, it was so brave of you to come forward, first of all.
I just want to be clear that this happens more often than we think. It happens within our own families, and we need to start listening closely and not let it divide families. If it is happening within your family, you need to find a way to help your child or to help the one that is being sexually assaulted, the one that is being raped. You must find a way to help them and put what is happening to you, the impact on your life, outside of it. It takes a lot of courage for someone to say, this is happening to me. And a very small percentage are false allegations. 99% or maybe 98% there is something to it. You need to look deeper into it, look at pressing charges, seeking counseling, therapy, but you must say something. Let's not be bystanders anymore.
Well, Barry, I wish this problem would go away. And unfortunately, you know, after doing a series in the 80s and also one in 2005, it's going to always be with us, I'm afraid.
Unfortunately, I think that's true. We just need to make sure that as a society, as individuals, we are there to, you know, if somebody reaches out, you know, as an individual, be there, listen. And as a society, you know, we've got to do what we can to bring perpetrators to justice and to, you know, shed the light on how really horrible these crimes are.
And I know you, like I, as a reporter, we always try to be somewhat objective, but when it comes to something like this, it's difficult to do that sometimes.
It is.
Robin, anything else at all? Maybe that hotline number again, or just anything else you want to share?
The hotline number again, and this is the Kansas Crisis Hotline number, 1-888 End Abuse. And I would just say I think that the truth wants to be known and justice wants to be served. And like Yusha said, what people do as they attempt to embrace the truth of their own situation and as they attempt to work out justice may look very different. Not everybody is going to take the path or walk the path that Yusha has walked. But people need to feel confident and comfortable with letting the truth be known and working through justice in a way that can bring health and restoration to their life.
Thanks again. It's been an honor to be a part of this very intense discussion. Kathy Dawes Scroggs, along with Yusha Reddy, Manhattan City Commissioner, and also Riley County Attorney Barry Wilkerson, Executive Director of Pawnee Mental Health, Robin Cole. Thank you all for your insight and candid comments.
Thank you.
Kathy, delight to have you back in the studio today. And Yusha, it is an honor to for Manhattan Broadcasting to be able to provide your story. And, of course, it will be available on our website online at newsradiokman.com. So your thinking forward on this, being proactive, is to be commended. Coming up on KMAN's In Focus tomorrow, we'll have representatives from Pottawatomie County. And there's lots going on with Pottawatomie County these days. And so don't know which guests we'll have in particular, but it's Pottawatomie County Day. The GMCF Community Hour is next on KMAN.
Shop local. From flooring to inspiration to expert advice,